Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
This morning, let us open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you this morning, Lord, and we're so thankful that you are a God who is holy, holy forever. And God, your holiness has made you a God that is worthy of all the honor, worthy of all the glory, worthy of all the worship. God, you are worthy to be served, Lord. And God, this morning as we come to your word, I just pray that through your word we will see that you are a holy God, worthy of all the honor. We pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Have you ever been given a word of advice or a word of caution or a word of wisdom before? I think many of us have probably received something along those lines, whether it be a word of caution or a word of wisdom or a word of advice. I can remember many times in my life where I have been given different instructions like that. And I can remember one particular time in my life where my dad had given me a word of caution before. And truth be told, it wasn't necessarily just a word of caution. It was more like instructions to not do something, right? You ever done that with your children before? You give them a word of instruction or a word of caution, and it's really more like, hey, don't do this, right? A neighbor and I wanted to ride our bikes down the road, and I may have told this story before. If I have, forgive me. If you haven't heard it before, then you're going to get to hear a story about your pastor not obeying his parents, okay? But my dad had given me a word of caution and said, whatever you do, don't go down that big hill. Don't go down that hill. Don't go down it, all right? Just don't do it. And so I arrogantly concluded as a young teenager to myself that I was big enough, that I was smart enough, that I knew how to ride a bicycle. It's easy to ride a bicycle, right? I can go down this hill and we'll be just fine. And so me and this neighbor, we take off down the road and we're making it down the hill. And this hill is not just a short hill. It's probably a half a mile long. It's a long hill. And so we're going down, down, down. And I begin to think to myself, all right, I've got to get up the other side of the hill now. And so I do the worst thing you can do. I start to pedal, right? Because I thought to myself, I've got to get some more speed. I already got a lot of speed going. And you ever try to pedal a bike when you're already going fast? It just don't work. You can't catch up to it. And my foot slipped off and hit the road, and I went this way, and then I crashed. I had road rash all the way down my back, all over my arm. My hand was all scratched up and everything else. And immediately after it happened, I remembered my dad's word of caution. Don't go down that hill. I got up on my bike and pushed it back up the hill, got on it, and rode it the Westerway home. I had not honored my dad, and bad things happened, right? Our passage today is one of honoring the word of the Lord. It is one in which God has given us his word, and it will be either, and we will either honor it or we will dishonor it. As people who now live under the new covenant, we know that God has given us his word for our benefit, for our good. One, because it is by the word of God that we know the salvation of God and how we can be saved. I'm reminded of James chapter 1, verses 21. I believe it should be up there for me, Tucker, if you don't mind. But in James chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." The word of God teaches us about salvation. The word of God can save us. But secondly, because it is profitable for us. We listened, we talked about this several sermons ago, but listen to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Christian, this morning I want you to know that God has given us His Word for our good, for our benefit, for our profit. And there is one of two things that we are going to do with the Word of God. We will either honor it or we will dishonor it. May we always be found honoring the Word of the Lord, because if we don't, there will be consequences for us rejecting the Word of the Lord. And in our passage today, in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and chapter 3, it's going to be a really long read, so we're just going to all going to bear it together. I'm reminded of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah had gathered all the people there, and we see that they read the word of the Lord for 6 hours. Okay? If they can tolerate it for 6 hours, we can roll with it for just a few minutes here. But as I'm reading through these chapters, we'll start with chapter 2, and we'll read chapter 3 later. But I want you to just listen and look for times when the characters either honor the word of the Lord or they dishonor the word of the Lord. And then one more thing that I want to note here is the people in this time, they had a scripture just as we do. They had at least the first 5 books of the Bible. They had the law that was able to be read to them. They knew the word of God. It had been clearly laid out to them as instructions. So they know the word of God, and they will either honor it or dishonor it. But beginning in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12, and Tucker, I'm going to trust you to just kind of flow through here. But in verse 12, he says, Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. The custom of the priest with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant would come while the meat was boiling with a 3-pronged fork in his hand. And he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. This is what they did at Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Moreover, before the fat was burned, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give meat for the priest to roast, for he will not accept boiled meat for you, but only raw." And if the man said to him, "Let them burn the fat first, and then take as much as you wish," he would say, "No, you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force." Thus the sin of the young man was very great in the sight of the Lord, for the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. I'm going to pause here for just a second. Did you see what's happening? There is a set procedure in how they are to accept the offering of the Lord. The priest here, to the sons of Eli, they were not taking it and doing it the proper way. Thus, they had treated the Lord's offering with contempt. Continue on. Verse 18, Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy clothed with a linen ephod. And his mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord give you children by this woman for the petition she asked of the Lord." So then they would return to their home. Indeed, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the boy Samuel grew in the presence of the Lord. Now Eli was very old, and he kept hearing all that his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who were serving at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And he said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil doings from all these people. No, my sons, it is no good report that I hear the people of the Lord spreading abroad. If someone sins against a man, God will mediate for him. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him? But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for it was the will of the Lord to put them to death. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord, and also with man. And there came a man of God to Eli. We don't really know who this man of God is. We just know that a man showed up to Eli and said, "Thus says the Lord, did I indeed reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt, subject to the house of Pharaoh?" Talking about how he revealed himself to Aaron, right? Remember, go all the way back, revealed himself to Aaron, made the house of Aaron priest. Eli would be an offspring of Aaron, but Eli had another, his own house, per se, if that makes sense. "Did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? I gave to the house of your father all my offerings by fire from the people of Israel. Why then do you scorn my sacrifices and my offerings that I have commanded for my dwelling? And honor your sons above me by fattening yourselves on the choicest parts of every offering of my people Israel. Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days are coming when I will cut off your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. Then in distress you will look with envious eye on all the prosperity that shall be bestowed on Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever. The only one of you whom I shall not cut off from my altar shall be spared to weep his eyes out, to grieve his heart. And all the descendants of your house shall die by the sword of men. And this shall come upon your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, shall be the sign to you. Both of them shall die on the same day. And I will raise up for myself a faithful priest, who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall go in and out before my anointed forever. And everyone who is left in your house shall come to implore him for a piece of silver or a loaf of bread, and shall say, please put me in one of the priest's places that I may eat a morsel of bread. I'm going to stop here. But from this passage here in chapter 3, we are given two reasons to honor the word of the Lord. And the first reason that we see to honor the word of the Lord is just simply this: rejection of the word of the Lord leads to the Lord rejecting us. Rejection of the word of the Lord really leads to the Lord rejecting us. I know this sounds harsh, doesn't it? It sounds challenging. It sounds like something that a good God wouldn't do to people, but it's exactly the consequence for those that do not honor the word of the Lord, for those that do not believe in Him. And not honoring the word of the Lord is something we see all across the Bible, and we see consequences happening afterwards. I think of Adam and Eve in the very beginning of time. They were given a word from the Lord, but what did they do? They failed to honor the word of the Lord, and thus they sinned against God and caused great rebellion to be, and for all of humanity after that. But not only that, Adam and Eve were banished from the garden. They were rejected from the very presence of God. You continue going. You can talk about Abraham and how he took Hagar to be his wife so he could have a son. And you get to Moses, and you see how Moses has sinned against God at some point in time. And what did he not get to go? He didn't get to go into the promised land. So many people in the Old Testament we see where they rejected the word of the Lord, or they didn't honor the word of the Lord, and consequences came for them. In the New Testament, if we choose to not honor the word of the Lord or not believe in Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord of our life, we don't receive eternal life. There is rejection there. But to come back to our passage here, it's clearly demonstrated here the devastating consequences of those that don't honor the word of the Lord. Eli's sons were worthless. They treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. The Lord had given them clear instructions on how to properly offer up worship to the Lord, but they completely ignored those commands. They fattened themselves rather than doing what was right before the Lord. But that wasn't all. They were also sleeping around with women who were serving at the temple. The two sons were worthless. They had no good in them, basically. Eli got no good report back from them. They were focused on honoring themselves, feeding, fattening up themselves, and all that they were sinning against the Lord. But it wasn't just the sons that failed to honor the Lord. It was also their father, Eli, that failed to honor the Lord. Eli had a responsibility to restrain his sons. Yes, he confronted them. Yes, he kind of questioned them and rebuked them. But no, he did not restrain them. He let them continue doing what they were doing instead of removing them from their post. And in not removing them, as we just read, he chose to honor his sons rather than honor the Lord. And then the Lord would speak, and in verse 30, and this is probably the thrust of the whole chapter here, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever, but now the Lord declares, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. The house of Eli did not honor the Lord, and therefore they would be lightly esteemed. Another word would be they would be disdained by the Lord, or they would be cursed by the Lord, if you read some other translations. And in the following verses, the Lord explains how Eli's house will be cut off. His whole family will eventually all die because of this. His family will be no more. And as this plays out, there will be one, Abiathar, which we read about at some point, he would be left to watch all of his family die. And Eli's sons would serve as a sign that this would happen, that this would come about. Eli had heard and knew the word of the Lord. He was a priest. He knew what it said. His sons knew the word of the Lord, but they did not honor it. And in their dishonor, the Lord said, I am going to reject you. You will be lightly esteemed. However, if you continue going to chapter 3, you begin to see that honoring the word of the Lord leads to the Lord honoring us. And so this is our second reason of why we should honor the word of the Lord. We honor the word of the Lord because it leads to the Lord honoring us. Remember verse 30? We just read it. Those that honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Chapters 2 and 3, and you can even argue chapter 1, as well as they are there to show you the contrast between those that did not honor the Lord and those that did honor the Lord. And so you begin to think back to chapter 1, and begin to think about chapter 2, and as we'll read here in a moment, chapter 3, you will see this contrast between these two families, Elkanah and Hannah, and how they honored the Lord, and Samuel, and then Eli and his family, his sons, dishonoring the Lord. Elkanah and Hannah, they honored the Lord by going to Shiloh every single year to make an offering to the Lord. Hannah honored the Lord by going to Him in prayer during her crisis and shame. She honored the Lord by making a vow to dedicate Samuel, or her son, to the Lord. And then actually dedicating him to the Lord. She honored the Lord in that. And last week we saw Hannah honor the Lord by exalting Him, exalting in the Lord for the salvation that she had. And today, I don't know if you kind of picked up on it as we were reading, But there is these little inputs about Samuel and his parents. The first one was in verse 18. Samuel was ministering before the Lord. Samuel was honoring the Lord, if you want to say it that way. And then we see in verse 26, Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord. So you get this idea. Samuel is honoring the Lord. The point is that you see Hannah's son, Samuel, is honoring the Lord while Eli's sons are not. To go back to verse 18 through 21, Eli, although he's not all the way there, he does bless Elkanah and Hannah to have more children. And they do. They are blessed. They had 6 children. They are blessed because they honored the Lord. But that isn't all. Samuel here, as we read in chapter 3, he honors the word of the Lord. Chapter 3 is meant to show you how Samuel hears the word of the Lord and then honors the Lord. So as we read through chapter 3 here, and again, I know this is a lot of reading, but I believe in reading the Word of God. And so chapter 3 begins in verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the Word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. This is an important little part here. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not know the Lord yet, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. I want to pause here because this sounds confusing, doesn't it, right? He's serving in the temple there. He's serving under Eli. He should know who the Lord is, right? But the point is not that he doesn't know the Lord. The point is that God has yet to give him a word. Does that make sense? God has yet to reveal himself to him. And in this calling, what you see is God revealing himself to Samuel. And so continue on, verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again, the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. And you could almost picture Samuel getting frustrated, right? What's going on? I keep hearing this voice, and every time I come to the person that normally calls me, he just says, "Hey, I didn't call you." It's like, is he pulling my foot or something, right? That's what you kind of begin to kind of think. And I can almost imagine Samuel's doing the same thing. But Eli perceives that the Lord was calling the boy. In verse 9, therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel, at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. I think we'd all be afraid, wouldn't we? God just told me that this guy is going to be, his house is going to end. I think we all would be a little bit afraid. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Samuel had been dedicated. Samuel had been serving under Eli, but he had not yet been called. And right here in chapter 3, we see the calling of Samuel and how Samuel heard the word of the Lord and then responded. I think it is important for us to note that there had been no frequent word of the Lord. God had not spoken to them in a long time. And if you really think about it, it makes sense because in the days of the judges, what was everyone doing? Whatever was right in their own eyes. And we are at the end of the days of the judges here. That God hasn't talked to them. He hasn't spoke to them. No one wanted to do what God said anyway. No one wanted to honor his word. They only wanted to honor themselves, just as Eli's sons did. It truly was dark days. But as verse 3 says, the lamp had not yet gone out. Praise the Lord. The lamp had not yet gone out. Basically, what's saying here is there is still hope. There is still hope. The lamp had not yet gone out. And so the Lord calls Samuel the first time. He calls him the second time. He calls him the third time. And each time Samuel responds and runs to Eli, and Eli says, "I didn't call you." But then Eli suspects the Lord is calling Samuel and instructs him to listen one more time, and then heed the Lord's call. And then we see the fourth time the Lord calls Samuel. And so we see this, I think, in verse 10. Go back for me one there. And the Lord came and stood calling Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." And God gave Samuel a prophecy about Eli's family. The next morning, Eli calls to Samuel, and here comes the real test. Here comes the test. Okay, I don't know if you guys picked up on it, but here comes the real test of whether Samuel will honor the Lord or whether he will honor himself or whether he will honor Eli. And Samuel chose to honor the Lord and told Eli everything that God had said. And his fear of what Eli would think and his timidness and his afraidness, Samuel chooses to honor the Lord. In church, because Samuel honored the Lord, and because as verse 19 says, let none of the words of the Lord fall to the ground, the Lord honored him. He would be established as a prophet. Samuel, at this point, was no longer just a priest. He was also a prophet. Church, the same is still true today. Those that honor the Lord will be honored. I'm reminded of John chapter 12, verse 26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will be my servant also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. The Father will honor him. If we honor the words of the Lord, if we honor what is taught in this Bible, if we seek to be servants of the Lord rather than servants of man or servants of ourselves, the Lord will honor us. The Lord will honor you because you are honoring Him. These two chapters, we have seen these two reasons of why we should honor the Lord. One, because rejection of the Lord leads to the Lord rejecting us. But honoring the word of the Lord leads to the Lord honoring us. And if there is anything for us as Christians to know and for us to understand, it is for us that have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our life, it just simply means that we should do anything and everything that this word calls us to do. We should honor the word of the Lord, living obedient to the word, knowing that it is profitable for us, and that it teaches us, that it corrects us, that it rebukes us, that it trains us in righteousness, knowing that it equips us for every good work. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in one of the parables. He's telling this parable about these two people that built a house. One built a house on sand and the other built a house on rock. Many of you know the story, you've heard it before, but the wind came, the rain came, the flood came, and the house that was on the sand, guess what? It crashed. It fell down, and great was its fall. Jesus calls this person that built their house on the sand a foolish person. And why does he call them a foolish person? He says they are foolish because he didn't hear the words of the Lord, and he didn't honor the words of the Lord. But for the one who built his house on the rock, the winds came, the rain came, the flood came, and guess what? The house stood. Jesus called this person wise because he heard the words of the Lord and he did them. He obeyed. He honored the Lord. Church, it would be wise for us to follow the words of the Lord. It would be good for us to follow the words of the Lord. It would be right for us to follow the words of the Lord. It is a strong foundation for our lives. And I encourage each of you to read the Word of God and honor the words of God by living them out. Secondarily, if you are here today and you are not a Christian, and you have never believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, this means that you, right where you are sitting right now in your point of life, you are rejecting to honor the Lord. You are not honoring the Lord, and the Lord is rejecting you. And there will come a day, Judgment Day, and when that comes, you will then be rejected for all of eternity. But you too can be honored. And it simply comes by believing and trusting in Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord of your life. You see, God has done something for you. He sent His Word directly to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, we learn that Jesus is the Word. And how this Word, Jesus, was life. And how He gives life to many that believe in Him and trust in Him. How He gives life to whoever would believe in Him. And if we honor the Son, if you honor the Son by believing in Him as Savior and Lord of your life, you too will be honored with eternal life. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears My word and believes Him who sent Me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. If you are an unbeliever in Jesus Christ and you've never believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, I want you to know that you are spiritually dead this morning. That you are spiritually dead, and there will come a day in which you will be judged and you will be rejected. But that judgment can change in just a moment. That judgment can be changed in the very simple fact that you believe in Jesus Christ has come to be your Savior, has come to save you from your sin, has come to redeem you. And then you will be honored with eternal life. You will no longer face rejection. You will no longer face the judgment day, rejection on that judgment day, because you will have passed from death to life. Today is the day of salvation. And I encourage you, if you've never believed in Jesus Christ today, let today be the day that you believe in Him as Savior and Lord of your life. And if you're making that decision today, I just encourage you to talk to a faithful friend or a faithful family member, or even talk to me about what it means to trust and follow Jesus Christ and honor Him and honor His Word by believing and trusting in Him as Savior and Lord of your life. And just know and trust that God has taken you from spiritually dead life to a spiritually alive life. Church, if you have believed in Jesus Christ this morning, you've already trusted in Him, you've already believed in Him, you will be honored. Why? Because you've already been taken from death to life. It is by the Word of God that we have gone from death to life. May we honor the Word of the Lord all the days of our life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to You this morning, Lord, and we're just so thankful for the Word that You've given us here in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and chapter 3. And God, I just pray right now, Lord, that we will be a people that honor You, that we will be a church that seeks to honor You in everything that we do, that we will be a people that seeks to live out Your Word and live out what it teaches and live out all that it calls us to do. And God, I just pray this morning that if there's one here who has never believed in You, Lord, and trusted in You as Savior and Lord, that today is the day that they will honor You by believing in You, trusting in You, the Savior of their life. God, I just pray all this right now in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.